Population is enormous. It ranges from a resurrected Judas Iscariot or a resurrected Antiochus Epiphanes, some mysterious Babylonian, an American industrial tycoon, to a renegade Roman, and there are plenty of guesses. In this message, I want only to outline all that is known, all that is written concerning the direction. The book of Revelation is bigger and more challenging than any one lifetime of study. The student must read it again and again, and as he do, and as he seeks the ministry of the Spirit of Truth, he experiences what our Lord promised. Out of his treasure, things new and old. There are always new discoveries to add to past thrills of Bible knowledge. Satan offered the kingdom of Antichrist to Jesus. Lucifer knew who Jesus was. The tempter never took the liberal position. He knew that Jesus was not an illegitimate child. He knew that he was God in the flesh. He knew his purpose in Israel. The usurper had gained such a grip on the kingdom of man that he claimed the right to offer it to whomsoever he would. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. There it is, spelled out for us. There is the proposition that must finalize rebellion. It is the ultimate earth agony of man's forfeited position and authority. Jesus refused this offer with the word, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That is the answer Eve should have given to the serpent. You lose the account by Luke and turn to the pages of your Bible until you reach the account by John. This takes you to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Satan is pleased to give his kingdom to Antichrist. He and his kingdom are described as one unit. So powerfully will Antichrist impose his will and personality. His stamp is firm and unequivocal. No dissent is tolerated. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his feet, and great authority. That is the man, and that is his kingdom. An important passage in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3. This is a picture of his kingdom. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. It's time now to sort what has already been disclosed. First, the heads are of the greatest importance. This deduction is obvious. Cut off the head, and the beast will die. Cut off the horns, and the beast will still live. So the horns are secondary. The heads are of vital importance. I must recognize this if I am to see the picture properly. Chapter 12 tells me that the heads are crowned with seven diadems. They are seven nations within the kingdom of Antichrist. They are seven extremely important divisions. Read with me in the 17th chapter. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. And is of the seven. There is the affinity. He is of the seven. I am faced with this conglomerate. There are ten and there are seven. 17 altogether. The seven are more important than the ten. These are the facts which emerge so far. We see a picture of an alliance focusing in one person, permitting world dominion. I believe we're on safe ground to say that the ten are subordinate to the seven. Horns are not as important as heads. And again, I believe we are correct to say that he, being of the seven, that one of these seven nations must be his homeland. It is well to return to the 17th chapter, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, and received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. This passage deserves observation and thought. The theme is secret. It is dramatic in verse. It emphasizes brevity 1 hour. The purpose of this federation is unmistakable. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. 10 is a prominent number in what Daniel understood the end time to be. He designates the close of man's day as an arrangement of 10 poles. In his 7th chapter, the last beast has 10 horns. The number 10 is prominent. This is self-evident to the reader. John puts the picture together. He describes the beast with 7 heads, as well as the 10 horns. These 10 kings have received no kingdom as yet, but received power 1 hour with the beast. They are contemporary with Antichrist. It is an alliance. The purpose is at that moment making the moment possible. This fact is essential. The 17th chapter of Revelation has a further disclosure. It states the relationship of these 10 with the harlot. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That is not a pretty picture for any religious system to accept. Note, the 10 worship the beast, but they hate the harlot. An important item to remember is that the 7 are old and established. The 10 are future, a distinct, brief arrangement. John was told of the 7, and there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, that is defeated, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. Isaiah uses a similar prophetic imagery, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come here, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It's a picture of religious or spiritual dominion and authority. Turning back to the Revelation, it is understood that in contrast to the 10, who despise the harlot, 7 are under the dominance and direction of an apostate religious system. These established facts lead us to some conclusion. First, I look where a pattern of church state has written history since John's time. I cannot avoid the Caesar formula, the Roman Catholic, the goal of both idealists and realists for centuries, the United States of Europe, a revived, powerful, and most influential federation. Today, we have the EEC, European Economic Community. This community, even now, is moving toward an industrial complex. Pressures from the colossi of the Union of Socialistic Republics and the United States of America will force a military community. NATO will slowly but surely divest itself of Western Continental Command in integration. The revival of the Caesar or Roman system is a bold silhouette. And recently, a European press reported, and I quote, for the first time in common market history, defense is being discussed as belonging in a European framework. A special meeting of the defense ministers of Eurogroup is being planned to discuss proposals for a European armaments agency. So you see the outline developing. What may we look for? Certainly, there is the possibility of conflagration in the Middle East, the fury of war. The northern mountains are today's trouble spot. Thou shalt come against the mountains of Israel. Thou shalt come from thy place out of the north part. Thou shalt come up against my people of Israel, as the clouds that cover the land, it shall be in the latter days. This scheduled event is nearing, and this offense of hell will be frustrated. For I will remove far off from you the northern army, and I will drive him unto a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill favor shall come up, because he hath done great things. The bid by the northern antagonist of God for world dominion will be set. And thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. The United States is withdrawn. The refusal to be further entangled, to squander further billions and sacrifice more youth, is a mandate that has overridden the presidential veto. And with a Russian defeat and a war-weary and war-sick America, Europe will be in the ascendancy. Europe becomes the stage most suited for the final event. The characters, the supporting roles, the scenery, the consummation of the plot assembles there. An armed, federated Europe will assume leadership. No longer will an America with what had been for a quarter of a century unlimited power, with seemingly inexhaustible resources and unconstructed industrial might, able to willingly police Earth. As America's role changes, so will the course of history, which has permitted evangelization and ensured freedom of worship. Censorship and conformity will be the order of the day. A Roman system of enhancing political power will be evident. John tells us that we may expect seven to be subservient to the strategy of the harlot. And this area of Earth yields the very center of Antichrist's power. And the beast that was and is not, and even he is of the seven. This is the most important clue given in the Bible, and is of the seven. The ten are the division of the rest of the world into ten sections, each a distinct political zone. The believers should watch for seven mirror-like governments to emerge in Europe. They come out of the old, heads are before horns. They form the hard core of Antichrist's kingdom, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon the head. Jesus said, watch! So the plot is evident, and the characters and the settings for the final scene are in the wings, ready for stage and for search. There is a sweet spirit, and I know it is the spirit of the Lord. Move in this miracle and flow of unity and find your place in these next 10 seconds at the long, long altar. Our Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is always moving with times and visible witness of his ministry. It is not philosophic in nature, it is not theory. It is demonstrated in authority. Christ responds to faith. Suddenly he's in the midst. And then there is action. His gospel was never meant to be a lecture in memorization and tabulation. Luke set forth the promise as he opens the book of Acts. And all that Jesus began to do and teach, the record was one of action. Therefore Christ's partners are witnesses. It holds today. We are witnesses of his glory. His service on the long, long altar is platform for ministry to you and through you. Move now with Jesus. Keep step with the living one. Jesus reverently we say welcome. There is great joy in thy presence. We're all sensitively gathered here and we bless thy name. We affirm thy victory over every hindering and holding spirit. We are free and well at thy command. Receive and direct our intercession for the souring of Guatemala and wherever tragedy has recently struck. There are the bruised and the afflicted of life. We are not unmindful that we might have been in their places, but for the will of God, take the many confessions of faith at this altar, enlarge the kingdom of God, use every new birth to shake the foundations of hell, robe our testimonies with thy spirit. and make us acceptable to thy righteousness. Amen. There is power. Yes, there is power in communication. The Master, the risen one, in by his interlocking with us, that a troubled one among us, greatly disturbed, has started a letter that should never be finished. It should be destroyed. You began an action in the wrong direction and self-check. Whatsoever is not a safety sin, that letter, unless destroyed, will lead to trouble. And you have enough trouble without inviting more. God bless you. And you thank Jesus for helping you personally. It is his shepherd care. Give him your testimony in pursuit of life. I'm his evangelist, ministering the New Testament telling. Are you getting to the meeting? This is never in the category of one more scheduled item. Each gathering is a miracle provision of the Spirit. The Blessed One points his support and provides the opportunity. We gather in the shadow of the most important event ever announced. Meeting in the air. Invitation and transportation will be by the Spirit of God. That is why we urge you to yield to him. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.